Film Vault.
Oh, come on now.
I'm sorry, buddy.
You're better than that.
Yeah, Film Vault. Oh, I'm sick. I'm Brian Bishop. I'm your host. There is my co-host.
What
Sighting
in
Anderson.
God's name? Are you? You're starting right off the bat with attacks. With full frontals.
That's Anderson. I'm Brian Bishop. We are your hosts. I'm a little under weather, but hold together today for our top five episode. Top five cross-dressing performances.
We should have done top five whiny bitches.
Oh.
Yeah.
Come on.
Honestly, Tyler. Brian.
What?
You began, before the show began, saying that you had a cold last week and you're recovering from it.
No, I had a cold all this week. I said it came on Monday, cold today.
God, this is what I deal with. He comes in with just like a full laundry list of symptoms and grievances and complaints.
I do.
All right, let's get right into it then.
I went and coughed on Jack Silver's door handle.
No one knows or cares what that means. Let's get right into movies.
Oh,
let's
right
talk a little flicks.
First, a thank you to our listeners who let us know on the AndersonandBrian.com little comment section there and tweets and whatnot that psychiatrists from last week are in fact medical doctors.
Yeah, they can prescribe meds there, but it's not what you think of when you walk. Well, you guys know what we're talking about.
White robes, stethoscope. You know when you see it.
The little light in the head. When they stop using that light in the head thing?
Oh, the little, I wonder if gynecologists still use that? Or like proctology, people like get into crannies.
Well, that's a weird look. It was like a little light bulb on the head with like a reflector behind
it.
I think I forgot all
like
about
a miner's
that
helmet
until just now. And now, like you just see like hiking douches wear those.
Do doctors even have stethoscopes anymore?
No, I was watching something recently. What was it? It was the vampire movie. Jim Jarmusch's film, not to be mistaken with Linklater. Who made Slacker.
It's going to be a rough show.
No, it's going to be fine. It's going to be good. But I was watching that vampire movie, Only Lovers Left Alive.
Right.
And he's posing as a doctor, and he goes in because he's got this deal with Jeffrey Wright, who plays Basquiat.
Right.
The actor who plays Basquiat. He also plays a doctor.
He's in a movie I saw this
Only
week.
Only Lovers Left Alive. Oh, he's in a lot of movies. And anyways, the vamp.
Yes.
Loki. The actor who plays Loki is playing the vampire in Only Lovers Left Alive, walks into the hospital and dresses as a doctor. And then Jeffrey Wright says, Basquiat says to him, hey, by the way, that stethoscope, that's like circa 1970s. Your dead giveaway if you have that. Don't use that stethoscope anymore. But
it brings me back to the stethoscope.
Back to your question about stethoscopes. I think they still do use them.
Okay.
Because I had one used on me not too long ago.
Okay.
A hot Russian doctor used one on me.
Really?
Yeah.
What was his name?
It was a female. Right. Victoria.
The plot thing.
Oh, why did I say her name?
Oh,
cut
no,
it, dude.
No,
cut
no,
it.
Definitely not cut it.
Cut. Damn it.
Dr. Victoria.
Can't be. Hey, quiet. Don't make
I'm going to litter this episode of Dr. Victoria.
Stop it. Stop it.
There's a movie called Victor Victoria.
All right.
That might be on our list.
Oh, it could be on a list. If I had ever seen that piece of shit, I might have it on my list.
I've actually seen it.
Here we go. Talking flick but fashion.
I will say that we will save psychiatrists and psychologists and all those talkie doctors. You ever seen a Simpsons episode? Bart, I'm a special kind of doctor. I'm a talking doctor. I was digging the hole. What are you doing? What are you doing, Bart? Digging.
You ever see where Dr. Hibbert's like, hey, that's interferon. That's very expensive. You're interferon with our fun. All right, we're off-roading. Let's get right to the movies. I saw some good ones. I got three really fun movies I don't know if you call them fun, but three good movies. Quality films. I don't even know if you call that one quality, but I got three movies.
Three movies.
Then I'm
These
excited
are three films.
To talk about. All right, let's do this. Flick-fashion.
I have three fairly depressing movies.
All right, well, let's do them quickly.
You might like them, though.
Go.
Antichrist.
Oh, Antichrist.
I was prescribed Antichrist.
You know what? Before we get into Antichrist, a couple emails, all right?
What's that?
I get emails over there at AndersonCowan.com. Contact at AndersonCowan. I think I don't know how it works. Okay. Or Anderson at AndersonCowan.
I don't know. Depends on what you set up.
But I get a lot of emails.
You must email me link.
Like I said, I read them all. I know that some of you don't get my responses, which is annoying, but I respond to some. Anyways, people don't, and I get it. I'm guilty of this too, but people don't listen carefully. Mm. And one guy in particular sent me an email saying he watched Antichrist.
Okay.
He likes to watch all the movies that we assign each other each week. That's what he does.
Poor bastard.
Poor son of a bitch last week.
Last week saw Not Another Teen Movie?
Yeah,
punished. Son of a bitch.
Follows it up with Antichrist.
Oof.
And he was like confused as to why I would ever assign that to you.
Right.
Like he didn't maybe he missed.
Did it make sense that I assigned Not Another Teen Movie to you?
That it was an assault. Like this is an all-out assault that I was engaging in and thrusting upon you by mandating that you watch Antichrist. Now, I wouldn't want any listener who's not, you know, duly warned to watch this. You know, I give it a thick warning. Also, in talking about Feast a few weeks ago, that short before A Big Hero 6.
Very similar.
I'll get teared up just talking about it here. A listener sent me an email and let me know that he loves that movie as well. He also cries like a small girl when he watches it. And he went ahead and he watched Maps to the Stars. Because I liked Feast, so why not Maps to the Stars? When I was talking about Maps to the Stars, the most recent David Cronenberg film, I give like heavy warnings. Like, this movie's not for everyone.
Right.
It's nothing but despicable, horrible, grotesque characters.
People doing horrible things.
I mean, it's not like, you know, I like the full spectrum of movies. Right. I like the really super dark and the really light and fluffy if it works. Okay. So just because I like Feast doesn't mean that, you know, everything I'm going to like is going to be about little puppies.
Fair enough.
All right, so
Antichrist is not about little puppies.
There's a dog-like creature in it.
There's a fox.
For a moment. He makes a cameo.
There's a fox and there's a deer and there's a rabbit? No, bird. There's a bird. There's a stillborn deer.
Yeah. Huh. Did you enjoy this movie?
No, what's to enjoy about this?
What's to enjoy
about? Did you enjoy this movie is my question.
I think anyone who actually enjoys this movie and goes back multiple viewings, there's something wrong with those people. They should be on a list. I think they should be on a list.
Antichrist is a 2009 movie written and directed by Lars von Trier, starring Willem Dafoe as he and Charlotte Gainsbourg.
I'll say her. I believe they're
she.
I believe they're together in real life.
No, they're not actually. I looked that up because there was some penetrative sex, which was, I found out, was, no, they were never together. They barely knew each other actually.
Those are cutaways though, right?
They are. Those are porn stars.
Yeah.
But they barely knew each other on set when they got there, and which made all their intimate scenes all the more, because they were in some intimate scenes regardless of the close-up cutaways. This is presented in three chapters. Anderson, of course, told you about the opening where their son dies in the opening scene. And the opening scene is a beautiful black and white scene.
Beautiful, yeah. Slow motion, a lot of...
It's set to the Italian the aria, I guess it would be, whatever.
Gravity overtaking a small child.
Yep.
Yeah, a lot of good stuff.
That's right. Then it's separated into three chapters: grief, pain, and despair. The chapters, and that's kind of all you need to know about the movie. The movie is about grief, pain, and despair. So
you get the sense of the director, writer Lars von Trier, who is a bit insane to begin with. One of the founding fathers of Dogma 95. He might have been working some stuff out when he made this.
Maybe been coming to grips with some issues.
Might have been a bit cathartic. This is a film that I could see film schools teaching, using for film theory and that kind of thing. There's a lot going on.
There's messages there.
A lot of messages,
but,
and I think they're all bleak.
They are bleak, but at the end of the day. Okay, outside of a few admittedly pretty neat shots, there were some neat camera work going on and some very interestingly composed
a lot
shots.
Of gratuitous stuff as well.
Very tedious and very boring. I know this is supposed to be like gruesome and shocking, but really it was just kind of boring. Like, it's dragged a lot. There were a few parts, like there were some extreme close-ups of genital mutilation.
Not a lot of dialogue.
Not a lot of dialogue.
I think
at one point a bloody penis gets jerked off.
All right, let's not give all the details away.
Sorry.
Chaos reigns. We love that drop and the cello or whatever is behind it. I don't have my machine here, but I think it was. I think at its base, it was Lars examining human nature towards one another, right, as well as how Mother Nature will end up fucking all of us and is much more brutal and powerful than any humankind.
I can see that. I'm just saying that...
Like the most disturbing thing, all the disturbing imagery in this movie, the most disturbing thing for me was falling asleep with the arm out the window, waking up, and all those little tick things. Ugh.
I remember
that. Did you look away?
No, I didn't at all.
Were you wandering out and making dinner in the kitchen?
No, I was watching the whole thing. Whose arm was out?
I believe it was his or her, one of them, and like fell asleep on the couch, and the arm was dangling outside the cabin.
Oh, yeah, once they got to Eden.
And they're in the cabin, which is most of the movie.
Most of the movie, yeah. It's 99% of the movie. Chaos Reigns.
Here it is. Oh, it's so... So powerful.
At least you could make the argument, and I would actually get on board with the argument that Irreversible is a good movie. Like, that movie has some artistic merit to it and has some technique. This one is,
the opening scene you just said was great, and it does drag in the sense.
One great scene does not a movie make.
It's a Brian. Don't say that that ever again. It drags because it's like a build, but even though
the screenplay must have been 200 pages, a lot of dialogue, a lot of monologue, so much whispering.
Yeah.
It's a bunch of whispering.
Okay. I did not
come out here so I could
love this movie, but it's infamous.
Yeah, I'm certainly glad I saw it. Oh, wait, no, I'm not.
Think it's important for you to have seen it. I'm glad you did. It's streaming on Fuckflix if anyone else wants to take the plunge.
Added nothing to my life.
You got Chaos Reigns. You know what that is.
I know, I did get
Chaos. Did you like the little cute, actually, that listener who sent that email about while watching the movie and was very upset? Why would you ever have anyone watch this? He sent me that little meme, I guess you'd call it, with the little baby cute fox.
I did like
and
that.
And it
actually.
Says Chaos Reigns.
Really nice.
I immediately sent it to you.
Yawning baby fox.
Here we go, Flick Fashion. You know that thing where somebody's like, hey, you got to watch this movie. Hey, and then they'll see you a few weeks later, have you seen that movie yet? And he's like, oh, Christ. Yes, Dr. Bruce. Yes,
I looked. Bruce.
I looked up Jane Mansfield's car on Fuckflix, and it says, "Sorry, hold on one second. Something just chimed in the head."
What?
Fuckflix.
What about it?
I've been alerted.
There's something called Fuckflix.
That a large man with the beard and a proclivity for bad films, wordy dialogue, and Kevin Smith. Yeah, he's got Fuckflix on his side now.
What do you mean?
They bought in. They're
on
the
what?
Reason why I call Netflix Fuckflix is because they, not like we directly approached them, but we heard through word of mouth and we got people that, you know, reached out to
right.
people on our behalf. Fuckflix got back to our people and said, we only do family friendly programming,
right.
entertainment.
Sure.
We don't want anything with an E next to it.
Yep. No explicit material.
Kevin Smith, very filthy man.
He's been known to curse.
And apparently Fuckflix is all over his show
Oh,
now.
They're sponsoring a show?
Oh, double Fuckflix.
Unbelievable.
Double Fuckflix. So I've been calling him Fuckflix because I love the company. Love them. Been a member since 1999.
Fuckflix.
But this will not stand.
Wow.
I will not continue to give them free advertisement. So I will continue to call them Fuckflix. Okay, here we go.
All right.
Anyway, so I looked it up. Fuckflix told me that I would not really like Jane Mansfield's car.
Okay.
And I said, Bruce... Dr. Bruce filled in for Dr. Drew for years. Corolla calls him Dr. Spaz, for those of you who listen to Corolla. Mm. I love the man. I love Dr. Bruce. And I said,
he's
listen,
a nice
man,
fellow.
It's been going on for 6 months now. Like, it's the one movie he's seen in the last 2 years. He doesn't see movies. And I'm like, Bruce, dude, I see a lot of movies, but I don't want to see one that I'm being told I'm not going to like. Plus, it'll be awkward for you and I next time I see you. And I hate that. Yep. You know, when someone's like, see a movie.
Do you see it? Do you see it?
And then you see it and they don't like it. And then it's just like awkward. It's like, oh, you like that thing? Yeah. Well, that's not the case. Jane Mansfield's car, a sleeper. This movie flew under the radar.
Really did, because I don't know anything about it.
It is Billy Bob Thornton.
Okay.
Wrote, stars, directs.
Never heard of him.
Billy Bob. And it's got a great fucking cast. Here's the cast. Kevin Bacon. Ray Stevenson. All right. Robert Patrick. Francis O'Connor. Okay. Robert Duvall. Holy hell, Robert Duvall is great in this movie. He's fantastic. Okay. And I said Kevin Bacon already. And John Hurt. Look at that.
Yeah.
It's a great little cast. Now, this is I guess it's an anti-war movie, kind of in disguise. If I know that August Osage County was like, you know, very polarizing.
Right.
I think if you're in August Osage County, which I consider myself to be, you're going to like this movie. It's two families that spend 2 or 3 days together from very different backgrounds. They're brought together because this Southern family, Billy Bob's family, his brother's Kevin Bacon, and his other brother is Robert Patrick, and their dad is Robert Duvall. Okay. All right, and they're old.
Is Billy Bob in this?
Billy Bob is, yes, he's one of the brothers. Okay. He stars in it as well.
Gotcha.
And he's got some real post-traumatic stress disorder going on. All right, they're all from wars. They've all fought in wars for the most part, except for I won't get into that.
Right.
But their mother left them at one point, went to England, disappeared to England, fell in love with another man, and lived with that man and his family. She dies. This is all in the beginning. This is the whole setup. She dies. They hear about it via phone. Robert Duvall gets the phone call. Steely cold Robert Duvall. Just steely, you know, like no emotion, just that kind of father.
Sure.
This is a 1960. Hold on, let me, where are my notes here? You'd think that I'd have this. Oh, my phone's doing that thing. Does it ever do that where you go to your notes and it's at the very bottom of your notes and you got to scroll?
So many notes.
Well, I got a lot of notes, yeah. Talking about for like years. Written, directed by Bob. Doing a Morrison, Alabama, 1969.
Okay.
Okay, so period piece. Some really pretty shots to open it up with the cold open.
Gotcha.
And then, so she wants to be buried back home, back in Alabama. So the family is coming to stay with Robert Duvall's family. And then John Hurt is the father, and he's got a daughter and a son, played by a guy who was a gangster on Dexter. So you would have never seen. He's like, he was a Russian, I think a Russian gangster, strip Joanna. Anyway, not important. These two families, very awkward, a lot of shit going on. They have to kind of like coexist.
Okay.
And it's very interesting. And there's a lot of great little weird moments. It almost feels like Billy Bob's taking a page out of David Lynch here and there.
Is this adapted from a play or is this an original screenplay?
This is the original screenplay. He wrote it with his writing buddy. He writes all of his screenplays, okay, but with his writing buddy. What's his name? Tom Epperson. Okay. So this is a Billy Bob written, and it's a Billy Bob vehicle. Okay.
Why is it called Danny Mansfield's car?
No. Many great little moments, yes. Because one of the many things, it's a metaphor. Actually, Billy Bob said that. I watched the extras as well. It's a metaphor for, like, you know, human beings being attracted to gore and violence and the inevitable ending of what's going to happen, especially guys that have gone to war and then come back. Robert Duvall's character, he's like an old man of money in Alabama, and he's I think he was a judge or something at one point. Anyways, he lives in a big, like, what looks like an old plantation house.
Sure.
And he sits on the scanner all night. That's like, that's what he does. And he listens for, like, car accidents. And then he'll go out and he'll actually go check it out and just, like, look at the dead bodies. Wow. Like, that's his thing. Jane Mansfield's car is doing a tour at the time.
Okay.
And he goes to check out Jane Mansfield's car right in the middle of the movie. So it's a metaphor with our preoccupation with death and how, you know, we're drawn to it. Right. And this is a war family. Actually, both families on both sides war. I really enjoyed it. A lot of great little moments. This is like
Bruce didn't overhype it.
A small little big movie, if that makes any sense.
Why didn't it get any attention?
I don't know. It kind of got buried. Could be Billy Bob, pissed off the wrong people. That happens.
Right. Yeah. Can you stream this? You have Sendaway 4.
I had to send away 4. But this is like a solid 3.5.
All right.
Like teetering on, like, worth sending away for.
All right.
You know what I mean?
I'll check it out.
Jane Mansfield's car.
Speaking of August Osage County.
Mm.
Speaking of. Written by Tracy Letts.
Tracy Letts! What'd you see?
You know what else Tracy Letts wrote?
Oh, Bug.
Killer Joe!
Oh, Killer Joe!
Killer Joe.
Give me some chicken!
That's right. Tracy Letts wrote Killer Joe, as well as Bug, of course, and directed by William Friedkin.
Gratuitous.
Very gratuitous. Matthew McConaughey stars. Emile Hirsch.
So well.
Juno Temple. Gina Gershon. And Thomas Hayden Church. So this is a dark comedy.
Yeah, I found it very funny. I thought I enjoyed it. I told you the story. I brought up the chicken, the infamous chicken bone scene. Those of you who've seen it, you know what I'm talking about. Those of you who haven't, don't show this to your wife or your significant other in bed right before you got to bed, about to go to bed while cackling. Because she will look at you and go, what the fuck is wrong with you? Why? Because it's, especially out of context, it is awful.
It is
hard to look at.
Height of misogyny.
Absolutely.
Outside of context. Okay.
But it's funny.
Did this come up on your top 5 dumb characters? Because it's certainly a candidate.
I don't know. I don't think so.
Okay. This is certainly a candidate for top 5 dumb characters.
Talking about Emile Hirsch's character?
I'm talking about everyone in the film aside from Matthew McConaughey.
Except for Matthew,
exceptionally dumb. I feel like Dottie, the Juno Temple character, I think she's brain damaged from her mom trying to smother her.
She's supposed to be young.
Well, she's also attempted smothering by her own mother.
Perhaps. You're talking about in the film, not in real life.
Yes, and Juno Temple, I do not believe, is brain damaged.
No, I don't think so.
Originally rated NC-17. Okay, so the tone is a bit all over the place, which kind of happens with dark comedies. I mean, it's dark, it's comedic, it's extremely violent, it's sexual. Mm-hmm. The one thing I do want to know, it's kind of like 4 movies in one. What I do want to know, Anderson, is I remember you told a story once. You knew someone who knew Friedkin.
Yeah.
And you told them.
You know her, too.
Well, I don't remember. You didn't say who the person was.
Diana Vandekamp, DBK.
You didn't say who the person was, I don't think.
Well, I don't think you knew DBK at that point.
That's a good point. You told Diana some insight you had about this movie that she in turn relayed to William Friedkin.
Right.
And he in turn said, the kid gets it.
Right.
About you.
Yes.
Obviously, he'd be very, very old to call him a kid. What?
Boy, William Friedkin is very old. He made the French Connection, for God's sake.
That's right.
All right.
What was the insight you had? Because there's some missing piece here.
Well, here's your problem. Here's where it breaks down. Is I was talking about Michael Shannon and how and something about meth and drugs and.
Oh, wasn't it about this movie?
It was about Bug.
Aww.
Are you a completist? Because Bug is next on your list. If you are, because Tracy Letts. He's primarily a stage play writer, but
this
three
is
of his
very,
films
very, very different than August Osage County.
Three of his films
this
have
very,
been
very, very
turned into
very, very,
at
very
least
different.
Three.
Very, very, very different.
Yes. But did you enjoy?
Did I enjoy?
Here's what I say. If you're a fan of Matthew McConaughey, which he's almost become something else now at this point.
Right.
You know what I mean? I think maybe he had a really sweet spot, which was right around here.
Right.
And now that he's won for Dallas Buyers Club, God knows what's going to happen. He's doing those fucking Lincoln commercials.
If I had seen this when it came out, I maybe would have a different opinion of it, not knowing what I know about McConaughey. You know what I mean? Like, now I know that he's, like, capable of all these great things, and he's kind of, like, skating along for a while and not doing great things.
Yeah.
So maybe I would have felt differently about it.
Yeah.
But the wildly shifting tones and the gratuitous violence brought me out of it a little bit. It wasn't a bad movie. In fact, it was a good movie. It was just, I don't think I was able to enjoy it the way I was supposed to. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and I think you gotta be a little twisted.
It's shifting gears very aggressively.
It does. It does. Yeah.
Like at one point, he's never mind.
You know where this came up? I think I had it on my top five monologues.
Oh, when at the end,
the kitchen monologue. Yeah, it was a great monologue. It was very well written. Tracy Letts. He writes. He also acts. He's in a lot of shit. He's an actor.
A good movie. I just don't know if I enjoyed it as much as I was supposed to.
Okay. I saw a film. It's in theaters right now. Limited release. I believe it was out of Sundance. And this is a performance-driven movie, to say the least. Talking about 71.
Oh, yeah.
As in the year, 1971.
Year, 71, yeah.
This stars...
Apostrophe 71.
All you really need to know is this stars Jack O'Connell, who, if he's not on your radar yet, I mean, this kid's for real. He's a great actor. We're going to see plenty of him. However, I have heard him in a couple interviews. He takes himself a little too seriously.
Kind of like us.
Like if he heard this...
Huh?
Like, he would hate me, and he would want to come after me.
Why?
Because I'm suggesting that he think...
Oh, wow, very ironic.
He just takes acting very seriously. Okay. He seems to have a chip on his shoulder. I don't know if I'm a fan of Jack O'Connell, but man, the human, but I'm a fan of him as an actor.
What
he was also in Unbroken.
What else has he been in?
Unbroken.
Oh, okay.
And I've seen him in at least three films now, 71, Unbroken, and Startup. Now, Startup, he is the best.
Okay.
If you want to dip your toe in the Jack O'Connell lake there, start with Startup. If you have a penchant for prison films, great prison film.
Right.
But this is a film we're talking about back to 71. About Ireland, Northern Ireland. Starts off with him in boot camp. He's in the English boot camp for the English army. I don't know what they call it. And then he's deployed to Northern Ireland, where there's obviously a lot of tension. And now I'm not that familiar with the Irish Republican Army.
Right.
Right, the IRA. I remember as a punk kid.
I think they're very amenable, easy to get along with people.
As a punk rock kid,
right.
I was, and with Irish heritage, I was very IRA, pro IRA. But
you
didn't
know what you were for.
I had no, yeah, I was a punk idiot kid, right? There's a lot of strife. For those of you who don't know, like Northern Ireland was and is controlled by Mother England, and they don't want that. They have a bunch of like politics going on. Plus, which I didn't realize so much, but the Catholics and the Protestants are like fighting each other in their own little boroughs in Northern Ireland. Some of them like the English, some of them hate. There's bombs going on. It's not as bad as it used to be, but that's what this movie is set in, that world. And the whole movie is about how he gets left behind.
Oh, that's
in
right.
The
he gets left behind like in like the enemy territory. I saw a trailer for this.
So. He's fantastic. He sells it really good. It starts off with boot camp, and then there's some just meandering shots with his son. And then I never really... My problem with the movie is I never... And it's strange to say, because he was really good in it, but I never really connected with him. Maybe because I'm so far removed from what's going on, what was going on in 1971. Like, it was hard for me to pick a side. It was like everyone was fighting each other, and I really didn't give a fuck about any of them so much. I mean, you know, it's horrible when kids get involved. But,
right.
He turned in a great performance, but I really didn't care if he got back alive or not. Is that bad?
No, that's the movie's job. Make you care.
A lot of walking around, a lot of driving around. It seems like this hour, an hour and 40 minutes. It felt like it could have been a scan 85 and might have got the point across. I think it was supposed to be building tension and whatnot. And sure, there was moments where I'm like, fuck, is the gun going to go off? Is this going to happen? It's like, shit. But not enough overall. For me to really,
All right.
But Jack O'Connell, he's here to stay.
He's on the rise.
Kid's good.
Hope he doesn't hear this.
Kid's really good. And you know what? Tom Hardy, he will be up for an Academy Award.
Okay.
I remember you talking last week
Range.
About how he's a good actor.
I thought about the range he has.
Like, it occurred to you that he's a good actor. And it's like,
no, it didn't occur to me. It occurred to me that he had range.
Oh, wait. I've seen Jack O'Connell. He's also in that television show Skins, I'm assuming the British version. I saw a couple episodes of that, so I may have first seen him there. Go ahead, Brian. Oh, I saw him in Eden Lake. Oh, God damn it. I'm
sorry.
Even
when you tell me to go on, I can't go on.
Oh, I saw him in This Is England. That was the first time I saw him. Holy shit. That was a long time ago.
Kid's been around.
All right. Go ahead.
I saw a film. Anderson, how many of the Hunger Games movies have you seen? The Hunger Games. The first one?
All of them.
You've seen all of them. You saw the most recent one, Mockingjay Part 1.
Yeah.
I saw it too. Finally. The highest earning film of 2014, at least until... I don't know if what you would call it. I think what's take it? American Sniper.
Oh.
Because it's technically a 2014 film.
Is it really? Wait.
That's how they count it, yeah.
Catching Fire? I would have thought that Guardians of the Galaxy. I guess it's R. So it's
I wonder if I'm going international.
All right.
Well, either way. Doesn't matter. This is one of the highest grossing films.
Talk about that.
We're really ready. It was for a reason. Directed by Francis Lawrence, starring Jennifer Lawrence. And Josh Hutcherson, Liam Hemsworth, Julianne Moore, Philip Seymour Hoffman, Woody Harrelson, Elizabeth Banks, Donald Sutherland, Stanley Tucci, all those last guys from Woody and Philip Seymour Hoffman, all chewing up scenery.
Why are you catching up on this movie? It's kind of a weird thing to do.
It was a huge movie and everyone saw it.
See it then? I mean, you're a co-host of a movie show.
There were a lot of Oscar movies coming out at the time. It was like a November release, I think, and it just didn't have...
Little Philip Seymour Hoffman action.
I know. So is this going to be his last movie?
I think so.
Is he going to be in the next one at all?
Maybe a CGI version.
Only if only there was a movie show we could talk to about it. So my lasting thoughts on these movies is everything with the bureaucracy and the propaganda and the world building of this whole universe, I'm fascinated. I want to know more. And yet they keep going back to these ridiculous love stories that...
It's aimed at those people.
I understand, but
yeah, he's got a couple more coming out.
Oh, thank God.
There's a TV pilot called Happy-ish, which he is going to be seen as Tom Payne. It's an unaired pilot thus far, as well as The Hunger Games: Mockingjay Part 2.
Great.
He's in there. Boom.
I really hate when they go back to the love story because that reminds me. It's like, oh yeah, this is a young adult novel. And otherwise, this is a pretty good movie. These are pretty good movies.
Themes. Yeah, we could do worse.
You could do a lot worse. The dystopian future. I don't give a fuck. The Big Brother type government.
About him. I don't care about Laser. What's his name?
Oh, Hutcherson. Josh Hutcherson.
And it's kind of weird.
Right. He said he's such a non-factor in this movie.
He's just not a very he doesn't have charisma or pizzazz. You know, he doesn't have anything And meanwhile, Chris Hemsworth, on all his dreamy looks, he's in the background, kind of like as the goofy oaf. It's like it seems like bad casting.
I agree. All the the 20-year-olds outside of Jennifer Lawrence, they're just kind of not neither here nor there. Oh, there you go again. But the adults who are kind of let you roam free, the Philip Seymour Hoffman and Woody Harrelson, Elizabeth Banks, Donald Sutherland, Stanley Tucci, they're all let you sort of roam free in this great world where you can just be a big juicy character biting into big juicy lines and big juicy scenes, and they're great.
It's called Hunger Games. How much Hunger Games actually happened in this one?
I didn't see a single game of Hunger.
No game whatsoever.
Yeah. Only the first book's called Hunger Games.
All right, nerd.
You guys have been spitting out a lot of inaccurate information lately. I just had to make sure the corrections happen earlier.
When was the other misinformation there?
I just gotta go look at the comments on the website.
What else? I'd like to do a little corrections and retractions right here, right now.
Well, I think you covered last week's, the psychiatry one.
No. Okay. Yeah.
Fine. Admittedly.
Yeah, but that's not what everyone knows what we're talking about. Let's not get technical.
Saving therapists for their own episode.
I'm really doing this for the guy at home screaming at you guys. It's only the first book.
Okay.
Wow. Cut that out.
Isn't the whole series called the Hunger Games series, though?
Yes, of course.
So are you going to have to retract that?
I have no idea.
Next week?
I don't.
Oh, wait. Let me see the title, Eric. The Hunger Games: Mockingjay.
Yeah,
that's just for the
part one.
The movies, because most people don't know about the books, so they retitle the movies. It's like Live, Die, or Repeat.
Is it a show about movies?
We only cover the film part. The book doesn't even
exist. Acknowledge there are
books.
Universe. I'm not sure what a book is.
And if somebody needed their leg amputated or some kind of surgical emergency surgery, I don't want a fucking psychiatrist anywhere near me. Afterwards, give me some meds.
Talk me through it.
You know, subscribe me those meds, but before.
I'm a special talking doctor.
Here we go.
All right. Third film.
Have you done three films yet?
I did. Antichrist, Killer Joe, and Hunger Games.
Saw a little film called Chappie.
Oh, you saw Chappie.
Yeah, I said a couple weeks ago, if Chappie, I wasn't really that excited about it. It looks like a bunch of rehash shit. And if the robot can make me feel something, that's really what the main
right.
hurdle is here.
A thrust.
If it makes me feel something, I think that the movie succeeded. I saw the reviews, which was kind of a downer, 28%. Sure. Plus, I think that's what we bet on last week.
Right.
So I was kind of paying attention.
You bet like really high,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, 28, 29%, I think, okay, is what it's raining in right now. Mm. Just, you know, brutal. Mm. Critics, and it's no shock to me. Why? Like, I'm sitting here watching this.
So
thing.
Is it a bad movie?
Hold on. It looks good. It looks good. But, you know, that's kind of par for the course these days. You know, you have a big budget with the CGI and whatnot. Right. It better look good.
Sure.
This movie comes out, you know, 10 years ago. It's right. groundbreaking.
Well,
it's
let me ask you this.
The best movie you've ever seen.
If this is a Neil Blomkamp's first movie, do we look at it differently?
Okay, more than a second.
Okay.
So, all the pieces we've seen before with RoboCop, Little Short Circuit, 2001, AI, Frankenstein, as well as like Big Hero 6 most recently, mm-hmm. very similar. We've seen it all packaged in a different bag. And this is a new package. And it's like, all right. I've seen this all before. Why? Why? I mean, isn't there something else you right. can do? We got Sigourney Weaver in there to give it a little sci-fi credibility. Right. She plays essentially the same kind of character she played in Avatar, where okay. she's like the big boss
big
who just
blue.
Says no to everybody.
Okay.
So it's a real basic premise. Johannesburg, South Africa is sure. and, 300 murders a day or something absurd. This is the not too distant future. Right. And they've created essentially RoboCops, but they're fully like all metal. I think they're called Rangers. And everyone's seen the commercial. You get the idea.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the police force. We still have like fat cops hanging around doing whatever, but
the enforcers.
They just kind of sit back and, you know, they don't really do much. Right. They're complacent. Then there's like these bad guys played by D. Antwoord. You ever heard of D. Antwoord?
No.
Which is also kind of throws
maybe.
You for a loop.
Oh, South the kid
African.
From,
No. It's not a guy. Oh. It's two. It's a girl named. What's her name?
Wait, I don't know what D. Antwoord is.
The dude's name is Ninja, and her name is Visser. And it's like punk rock. It's like South African punk rock. You've seen videos, probably. They
okay.
have amazing videos. They have very
okay.
strange faces.
Okay.
He especially. They both.
Well, they're African.
Anyways, Neil Blomkamp loves this band, D. Antwoord, or Die Antwoord, however okay. you want to say it. And actually, you know, they have pretty good music. They sound kind of like Prodigy. Okay. Actually, I want to call myself a fan of Die Antwoord, but I've listened
You've
to
enjoyed
them.
Their tunes?
Yeah, I've enjoyed their tunes. I have a Pandora station, especially now.
Tuned in?
So anyways, they're the lead stars. They're awful. They're not actors. I mean, they're not expected to be actors. Oh, what's worse is I read some things with actual other actors on set. Like, we're saying that, like, the guy, Special Ninja,
right.
was like telling him how to act. It's like, dude, don't tell me how to do my fucking job. This is not your domain. Apparently, they're really hard to deal with on set, which okay. makes them even more punk rock.
Sure.
They're playing versions of themselves. They're wearing like D. Antwoord shirts throughout with pictures of themselves on it. It's bizarre. But that's kind of like distracting. They have like this whole thing where, like, you know, right off the bat, there's a drug deal gone wrong. They have 7 days to come up with $20 okay. million. Dollars. And then there's five days till batteries die. And oh my God, the gaping fucking plot holes, Brian.
Right.
Gape huge. I can't talk about them because, you know, the movie's still fresh.
Sure.
Fucking massive.
Were you able to connect with the robot?
You know, like, like a movie's supposed to be kind of like a maze, like, you know, like turning right yeah. here, left there. This is like just a straight line. Like, shit that's happening in Act 1, you're like, oh, okay, so in about an hour and 20 minutes, I'll see this pan out in
sure.
Act 3.
Sure.
And I know how it's going to land. Okay, now for the good. Will you play that thing, Logs? You play that thing. Hans Zimmer did the score.
Okay.
The best score Hans Zimmer has done, or anyone's done, in my opinion, since Dark Knight.
Wow.
Holy shit, it's great. Oh, it's so good. It's a great score. It's a fantastic score. And it's also peppered with, like, the Antwoord music throughout. So it sounded great. Chappie, it sounds a little bit like Ren from Ren and Stimpy,
okay.
if you can imagine that. And what's his name? Copley, the guy that did the
Charlton Copley.
Charlton Copley, yeah, he did the CGI stuff with
okay.
the. It's all him. It's his voice, and he was like the actor, kind of like with what's his fuck on the monkey movies.
Oh, with Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, come on, what's his name?
The Gollum.
Yeah, but what's his name?
I don't know. I have a cold.
Well, you know what his name is. Look.
No, wait. Let me do it.
Bill Jackson.
No, it's not. Jackson.
Well, then someone will let us know next week. Anyways, listen to the score. It's so great.
Circus. Andy Circus.
Andy Circus, yes.
It's a pretty great score.
I love this movie. I love it. It's so bad
really?
In so many ways, but I love Chappie so much that I'm a Chappie person.
All right.
Like, I think there's going to be Chappie people, a lot of apologists. I think some of them will come out a little bit later, maybe. Right now, it's kind of like in vogue. This is a movie for cynical, jaded critics to hate.
Right.
I mean, there's so many things that shouldn't be happening in a movie. Plus, I think a lot of them are expecting bigger, smarter ideas from Blomkamp.
Right.
He did District 9.
So if this was Elysium, his first movie, you look at it differently, probably.
Well, I have a hard time getting the palates and acquired taste, I think. If you recall, I'm one of the only people who didn't love District 9.
You and me both.
I thought that it had huge tonal issues, and I didn't understand, like, was I supposed to be laughing? Now, with this movie, it's a very, very odd thing in that I was not laughing at it, but I definitely wasn't, I don't think I was laughing the way I was intended to laugh with it. It was this whole different kind of laughter, but I loved it. I was like crying. I was laughing so hard I was crying, and I was actually moved and cared way the fuck more about Chappie than I did about Jack O'Connell in 71.
Okay.
Say what you want about me. Maybe that makes me really stupid. I don't know. But Chappie, the new twist on Chappie is like, it's a new AI. He's like a baby when they first flip him on. I'm not going to get into the whole thing, but the point is he's being raised by thugs. He's being raised by Dee Antwoord.
Right.
So he's got this whole gangster fucking thing going on.
Okay.
He learns gangster, and it's fucking hilarious, and it's beautiful, and I loved it.
Okay.
Like, he does this thing where he does his with his nose.
Yeah, yeah.
There's also like a third wheel gangster that named America, and he's like a Mexican Holmes. He's like, hey, Holmes. And like, so Chappie really gloms onto his style and what he's doing.
Sure.
I will see this a second, third time. I don't know if I'm gonna laugh even more the second time. On a action movie, this is like a B.
Okay.
On a drama, this is like a C minus.
Right.
On a comedy, it's like an A minus.
All right.
B plus. But Chappie is with me forever. I love that character.
All right. I didn't expect that. I didn't expect this to go that way.
Oh, I love Chappie. And neither did I. I was prepared to hate Chappie.
I wonder if this is just you wanting it to be good. So
no.
Your score would be better.
I never do that, okay. Ever. I love that robot. And it's hard to explain because it's like, oh, I love Chappie. But the movie Chappie, it kind of sucks. But it doesn't suck. But Chappie is the movie.
Mm.
So it's kind of hand in hand. You know what I mean?
I gotcha.
But I apologize. I forgive all of its shortcomings. I don't think you're going to be able to like this. I think that you would love Chappie like I do.
Right.
But I think the rest of the movie is going to be so problematic for you with acting and with gaping holes. Like, you're a stickler. You know what I mean?
Sometimes, yeah.
And, you know, critics are supposed to be jaded. They're supposed to be bitter. And they're supposed to be a little bit, I think, angry and looking for things to crush. And I can see this is like in a softball form. But there's a lot to like there.
All right.
Chappie.
Chappie.
I love that dude.
Coming up next.
He's hilarious.
Oh, check out Chappie.
There's one line. I could not stop. It was like well into the next scene. I was still laughing and crying when Chappie says, I thought you were going to sleep. It makes no sense unless you've seen it. But when he says, I thought you were going to sleep, holy shit. It's fucking hilarious. And I'm not sure it was supposed to be that funny. But it was.
Coming up next. Top 5 cross-dressing performances. Anderson, one of the best things we've ever recommended on the Film Vault on our family Christmas episodes was the classic movie mug, because people still buy the classic movie mug. Someone just purchased it this week on our AndersonandBrian.com Amazon click through.
Yeah, remember I thought my wife got it for me for Christmas? Turns out she didn't, and I'm kind of sad.
My wife got it for me.
Good for you.
When you get to the bottom of the cup, it says the end.
Yeah, you say that.
That's good stuff.
Oh, I've heard that.
That's good stuff.
Yeah.
Other things that were purchased on the old AndersonandBrian.com click-through banner for Amazon was someone got a very pricey Canon aspherical ultra-wide tilt-shift lens for their Canon digital camera. Appreciate you guys clicking through for that. Apple iPad with Retina display. 3 Apple iPod shuffles. Going to give those out as gifts, possibly. What is this here? Soundbar speaker with Bluetooth. You can get Taco Bell fire sauce in 7.5-ounce bottles. If you really love the Taco Bell fire sauce.
Someone's doing a prank there.
Could be. Or they could love Taco Bell fire sauce.
Yeah.
Oh, someone got one of these. What's the one I'm holding right here?
It's a Fitbit.
Fitbit wristband.
Wristband.
Someone got one of those. Thank you for getting me one of those also, Anderson.
Mm-hmm.
Something called Sagami condoms. Sagami?
For extra small penises.
Sagami.
That was racist, and I apologize.
I don't know what that's supposed to mean.
Mm-hmm.
You know what a marinade injector is?
No.
You put the marinade in the thing, you inject it into the meat, so you have to like let it sit overnight.
I like that.
Yeah, you inject the meat with it. Milk frother. What is this here? For lattes. Someone got 16, also possibly gifts, 16 beige business card holders, leather, Fire TV stick, a Google Chromecast, and a Roku. People are going to watch some stuff at home. What is this here? Oh, smart blackout window curtains. Those, get those if you don't want to be woken up by the sun. What is this here? A movie wall, movie poster from The Predator. TurboTax Premiere. Home Bowflex. I didn't know they still made those. Someone's got a brand new Home Bowflex.
I want that.
You can get one.
I'd be afraid that it would snap, though.
Really? It's all bows, yeah. You'd probably rip it apart.
Yeah, like a shard would go in my eye.
And then it's the opposite of working out. What is this here? A portable basketball system?
You gotta have your b-ball wherever you go, yo.
And, carbon monoxide alarm. Be sure to get those for your house, everybody. And the aforementioned Baymax. I'm going to get a Baymax action figure.
Baymax. What is that?
Baymax from Big Hero 6.
Oh, Baymax. I thought you were trying to say Betamax. I was very confused.
I think Baymax is based on Betamax, but it's from Big Hero 6.
Big Hero 6.
Movies.
Here are the flicks. There are click-throughs. Big Hero 6. Look at that segue. Check that out. Big Hero 6, apparently starring Betamax.
Baymax.
Guardians of the Galaxy is click-through. The Lego Movie. One of the best movies of last year. Somebody clicked through and got themselves a little Lego Movie love. Enjoy. Sound of Music 50th Anniversary Edition. I remember when it came out, like it was just yesterday.
That was a long time ago.
Well, before I was born. Star 80 was clicked through. Fuck yes!
I've never seen that.
I love Star 80. Yeah. Creepy. They actually shot Star 80. Fun little fact. They actually shot Star 80 in the house where the actual crime took place.
That's creepy.
That's awesome.
That's weird.
Eric Roberts. The Master was a click-through. Blu-ray, DVD, and digital copy. Got to see that Master. If you get to see the Master, if you get to suffer through the Master, because some of it is difficult.
It is long
I went
tedious.
Back. I revisited. Not one of my favorites.
Nope.
Mr. Paul Thomas Anderson.
Nope. Putting it on a shelf.
But if you're going to see it, you better see it on Blu-ray. Calvary was click-through. Smart. First time he tasted semen was 7 years old, Brian. Friday was click-through. Hilarious movie. Forgotten movie. Locke was click-through. 14. What's that? What is that?
14 people.
14 people clicked through and got road hard.
There you go. Thank you, everyone.
Well, the hammer. When somebody got the Hunger right, Games.
Pick it up, buddy. Come on.
The Hunger
pick
Games.
Up pieces.
Hunger Games Mockingjay Part 1.
Right.
Somebody clicked through and got Whiplash as well as Zardos. Zardos. Zardos has been in my queue for fucking ever. You I gotta watch Zardos? It. I've been told I gotta
you
see
ever
that.
Seen Zardos?
Obviously not if I'm mispronouncing it.
Well, see Zardos.
Yeah.
They just did an episode about that on How Did This Get Made, so I think that's why people want to click through.
Zardos as well as that Holy Mount movie, whatever the fuck it's called. There's a couple of cult films that have been on my radar for quite some time.
Okay.
I need to see them.
Well, thanks for looking for everyone. We appreciate it.
Have you seen Zardos?
I have not.
Oh, well, then what are you doing telling me that, how to say it and go see it?
I heard a whole episode about it.
Do you think you listened to it you saw the movie?
90% of the movies they talk about, I have no intention of seeing. They talk about bad movies.
What a waste. That'd be like listening to a travel show, a place you have no intention of ever going to.
If they tell funny stories about it and the whole thing's funny, then who cares if I've been there or not?
Good point. Touche.
Okay. Thanks for clicking through, everyone.
Back to you.
Hola, this is Dora the Explorer, and you're listening to The Film Vault on AndersonAndBryan.com.
Yeah, welcome back. Thanks to Crash Kit, the Sanderlings, Big Duty Roo, Mr. Nissus, Mr. Nisness, the Urethras, and Colin Obrensky.
What? The Urethras?
I always laugh at that.
Yeah.
It's always fun. Uh-huh. They're our feature artists this week. And check them out on AndersonBryan.com if you want more info.
The Fallopian Tubes? Is that a band?
I'm sure that could be a band.
That'd be a good band. Hey.
Thanks also to Joe Cherry for the artwork.
I need to go back to watch District 9 again. Because it was definitely a victim of, I was so pumped up about the movie. Right. I'd seen the short like 4 or 5 times. Right. I was so excited about this Neil Blomkamp. You know, I did way too much research, did myself in, and then you and I went and saw, it was one of the few movies that you and I went and saw together, right. And there was a bit of a letdown because of Charlito, what's his name?
Charlto.
Charlto. Copley, he didn't do it for me. He wasn't the right guy for that, and I just felt like it was supposed to be funny, but I wasn't laughing. I bet I would like it a whole lot more now that I kind of know what to expect from this Blomkamp.
I would be interested to see. And by the way, guys, I apologize. I'm sick. And
come
I feel
on,
like
Brad.
I'm letting, I feel like I'm letting you all
it's
there.
It's okay, buddy. So, it's a good list. I'm happy we're doing this.
I'm glad you feel that way because this was on our list for a list of lists to do for a long time and got into it and I felt, oh man, I don't have enough.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
There's a lot.
There are, but you know what though? I haven't seen a lot of like classic. I never saw Tootsie, for example.
Ooh.
Like classic ones I haven't seen.
One of my favorite ones unfortunately, I had to leave off.
Why?
Because absolute and total spoiler.
Oh.
Absolute and total. And it's not the one you might be thinking of. I'm talking about a movie from the 80s, which I would love to put on there. I'd love to talk about it at length, but I can't.
Yeah, I think I know what you're talking about.
Do you know what I'm talking about?
I do. Does it involve a British actor?
Yes, Corey. Hey, careful.
There's only so many of them. There's only so many.
That's well put, though. Yes. British actor. Hey, how'd you know that?
I just know things.
That's weird.
That wasn't weird.
Uh-huh.
Mine.
There's so many hilarious plot holes in Chappie. We could do a drinking game just with the plot holes.
All right.
But it's great. Okay, here we go. So, yeah, I came up with this list. See, I don't know what this says about me, but I really like me some dudes dressing up like chicks and looking good. And vice versa. Maybe, perhaps. But this is one of those lists that almost came to me immediately, like almost like a vision.
You know what's funny is when Logan put out the call for the listener top five, he specifically mentioned people in drag. And I wonder I wonder if there's any that are like, you know what I didn't see was, what's her face? Cate Blanchett playing Bob Dylan.
Well, that was just a hard to watch movie.
I never saw it. My point is,
performance was great, I guess.
I wonder if there's any like that on either your list or the listener's list. Like, well, they're not in drag so much as they're playing.
I don't.
You know what I mean?
I don't tap dance on that their social media much. Okay. I'm not familiar with what is tweet.
Some people did put that though, so I don't think it was completely lost.
I was just going off cross dressing performances.
Right.
That's where I left it.
Sort of opened it up to everyone's playing something they aren't.
And I had a lot that were kind of on the fence, and I said, you know what? A scene doesn't really do it for me. Okay. If a person was actually throughout most of the movie, that's kind of what. Here we go.
All right.
Fair enough. Go ahead.
Number five for me. I will apologize for my list being a little, not incomplete, just if I brush through some obvious ones. But number five for me is from a movie that has surprisingly never been on a top five, considering I like it so much. And I feel like it's uncool to like Shakespeare in Love. It won Best Picture over Saving Private Ryan. I think that rubs some people the wrong way. However, Shakespeare in Love is a really good movie. And Gwyneth Paltrow spends about half of the movie. Her character is Viola de Lesseps. Viola de Lesseps. De Lesseps. De Lesseps. But she also spends half the movie as a young Master Kent. She's an enthusiast of the theater, Anderson. She loves the theater so much. Back in the Victorian era, women weren't allowed to be on the stage in public. So in order to actually go out for one of her favorite playwrights, William Shakespeare's plays, she has to dress up as a man, young Master Kent. And she goes out and she reads, and she's great because she loves the theater. And Shakespeare's like, oh my God, you're amazing. And she's like, oh, I gotta go. And then the whole mistaken identity thing happens. He figures out who she is. They fall in love, but she has to keep up this ruse because she's the best actor they have.
Are you telling the entire storyline right now? God, I was half listening.
Then don't worry about it.
Did you? No, come on, buddy. Come on. Don't get for real mad. That's kind of creeps. I don't like it when you get for real mad.
Anyway, the point is.
Did you just give away the entire movie, though?
No, I didn't. I pretty much just set up the love story. Mm-hmm. She has to keep up the thing as the man because she's a great actor, but right. Like, she can't expose herself as a woman. But then there's.
Very boyish looking.
I don't know if I even call it a twist, but there's a great circumstance of events where she must play the Juliet character, which is like strictly forbidden because she's playing a woman as a woman. Then Shakespeare himself has to play Romeo. It's a great farce, if you will. And Shakespeare in Love. I don't even know. I don't know why this movie gets beat up so much. I love Shakespeare in Love.
I liked it too.
Why does it get beat up so much?
I think it's Ben Affleck in it.
It's a very small part.
What is it called? What's the ripoff, the parody, the satire, Lucas Falls in Love? George Lucas Falls
in
Love.
Yeah, Lucas in Love.
I can't. Is it just Lucas in Love?
It's called Lucas in Love.
Did you see it on
YouTube?
No,
it's called George Lucas in Love. I actually saw it back before YouTube existed.
You just finished saying moments ago, I just saw that.
Oh, I thought you were asking where I first saw it.
I don't need to know of your hipster origins and how you saw it way before everyone else did.
Well, because it was all about USC, so it was a big thing back then.
I saw it when I was in film school, actually. Somebody gave me a VHS copy of it.
I did actually see a VHS copy of it.
What if it was the same one? It was kind of like making its rounds.
The same one.
It's a great little movie.
Yeah, George Lucas in Love.
Yeah, George Lucas in Love. 8 minutes long.
Can we post that, Logan?
Really fun.
Can we post George Lucas in Love?
Yeah, I think it's on YouTube somewhere. I can probably put it on.
I bet most of our listeners, a lot of our listeners, I shouldn't say most, but I bet a lot of our listeners have seen it.
That is delightful.
You seen it there, kid?
Yeah, I've seen it in like two or three different film classes.
Really?
Yeah, it's a great examination of story structure.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Interesting. All right.
Anyway, Gwyneth Paltrow, Shakespeare in Love is young Master Kent. Thomas Kent.
Yeah. It was a tough year, 1999. It was up against Thin Red Line, Saving Private Ryan, Elizabeth. as well as Life is Beautiful.
Mm.
When I say tough year, I mean tough for me to have to watch all those movies.
Yeah, that was absolutely tough.
Elizabeth.
You know, I never saw Elizabeth. Thin Red Line, extremely long and tedious. Let me say this about Saving Private Ryan. Some better moments in that movie than in Shakespeare in Love, but overall, I can't definitively say that's a better movie. It drags at parts for sure. Mm-hmm. Do you agree? Feel free to disagree with me.
Which one?
Saving Private Ryan drags at some points.
Yeah. I mean, I think everyone was so swept away with that opening sequence. No one had ever seen war like that before. Yeah. But then, yeah, it does definitely drag.
Even the end scene was great.
There's great moments, but there is some Spielbergian.
There's some filler.
Speaking of filler and long and dragging, and actually, I commend it because it's like, it is, don't give a fuck.
That show?
Better Call Saul.
Oh.
That new show. Better Call Saul. You watching it there, kid? That movie, he does not care.
I've been trying to get you to start it for a few weeks now because I've been watching it since the premiere.
Started it 3 weeks ago.
I'm happy you did.
This is not TV Vault.
Only one behind, but that, like, they just take their time.
Oh, you missed Better Call Mike then, or you haven't seen Better Call Mike yet.
Is that a new show? What's going on?
Spinoff.
Yeah, we'll talk about this at the break. Cool. I don't want to get too deep into
this. I'm only one episode behind. Okay, all right.
There are five for you.
Oh, and by the way, did I talk about it last week, but Last Man on Earth. Splendid. Splendid show. Fantastic show.
Vault.
Great show. Love that. Oh, we talked about it.
Staying strong.
Logan didn't like it.
Taking advantage of my sickness.
Number five for me. I'm going strong. Talking about strong. Holy shit, I almost feel like this one, did I make a mistake here? Jonathan Lithgow is Roberta Muldoon in The World According to Garp.
Never saw Garp.
You should check that out. 1982. Sidney Pollack directed.
I've seen the clips. I've seen clips of Lithgow, and he's a very convincing woman.
He's great. He's
like a
likable
football player, right? Or something.
Yeah, he's like, it was a spin on because he's actually a large, huge, hulking man. Yes. A lot of the time you think of pooftas. Is that offensive? It's not offensive in this country.
What is that?
A poofta.
I don't know what that is.
That's what my wife's dad calls me when I put on makeup. He's from England.
I noticed he got a haircut.
He's from England. Poofta. Yeah. You look like a poofta there, Andy.
Like a puff.
But yeah, usually when a guy's dressing up like a lady, a little waify, you know, and womanly.
Sure.
And this one, he's a tough,
manly
guy who can beat the shit out of anyone, but he doesn't because he's such
gentle.
Feminine side. I love Lithgow as an actor to begin with, but it's fantastic seeing him as Roberta Muldoon in The World According to Garp. Unfortunately,
should I see Garp?
This is not streaming anywhere that I could find, and. Just for Robin Williams' sake, send away for it. 136 minutes, though, and it was directed by George Roy Hill, not Sidney Pollack. That's another movie that's coming up later.
Hmm.
You know, I'm going to check Instant right now. I think it might be on Instant. Go ahead.
Which one? Garp?
Garp.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Number four for me. This might be on your list, so if you want me to save it for later, you want to jump on, I'd be surprised, Anderson, if John Cameron Mitchell... Hedwig was on your list.
Oh, that German dude. Yeah.
That's interesting. I feel like I'm surprised you forgot.
Wait, I thought that was Doogie.
Hmm?
Isn't Doogie Hedwig?
No, Doogie is Hedwig on the stage version.
Oh,
the
Hedwig in the angry stage.
Yeah, exactly. The sort of a revival version. But the original, the creator, the writer, director, and star, Hedwig and the Angry Inch, is John Cameron Mitchell. And
Short Bus.
I have to give you credit, Anderson. You would have brought this movie to my attention. I didn't have a ton of interest in it, but you're like, you got to see Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
Hedwig!
And I will tell you, it's not a start-to-finish fantastic movie, but there are parts
it's
that
cutesy.
Are fantastic.
It's cutesy.
There are parts that are great.
But what the movie, much like Chappie, what the movie is centered around is fantastic.
Yes.
What
and
the
there
movie
are parts that stick
around.
With me. The origin of love will always be one of my favorite parts of any movie. Mm-hmm. The origin of love animated sequence. Also, when he's playing the festival to one person. Very funny. It's good.
And that one person was not a very... That's not an audience I would want.
No, it's not an enthusiastic crowd.
She was whatever that audience member was with the umbrella and the giant pants, yep. Like the rave pants. Oh, not a good person. Not a good look. I don't like that audience of one.
Yeah, could have made top five funniest musical moments. The ending maybe unravels a bit, but this is a great character, a great cross-dressing character, gender-bending character.
Hedwig in Angry Inch also birthed to the screen Michael Pitt. I had never seen Michael Pitt before.
Really? Oh, he was the one who went on to the success.
Beat off in the Tommy Noses. In the bathtub there.
Yes, that's true.
Yeah, he gets beat off in the bathtub.
I feel like I'm going to hear more about this later.
No, I'm not. It's that East German movie. That's all I know about it.
All right, it's number four for you.
All right, I'm just doing a little research here in real time.
You really should have done your own time.
The world, I did. I just, I'm OCD. What's wrong with doing a little research on our time? World of Cartoon and Garp is not available on Amazon Instant. You can't, well, it is, but not for free. You got to pay $2.99 for it.
$3.
There, for the SD version. All right, here we go. Number four for me. I'm going big. And this is a movie that is available on Amazon Instant, not on Fox. You hear that, Kevin Smith? Tootsie is not available on Fox Instant, but it is on Amazon Instant. Talking about 1982's Tootsie. Wow, are these both? I didn't even realize that.
Wow,
my
big
first
year.
Five and four, both 1982.
Wow,
man, putting on makeup year.
Big year.
Dustin Hoffman asked Tootsie in
Tootsie.
Yeah, you know what? It's cute. It's of. I think it holds up. It's of its era. You know. It's very predictable. You know what's going to happen, but it's fun watching those things happen. You know what I mean? He's hard to work with actor. He's like, you know what? I'll come back and reinvent myself as a woman. He gets cast in the soap opera. It's a fun show. It's a fun movie, I should say.
It's a classic. I mean,
it's a classic.
It's eluded me this far, and I'll check it out.
I haven't seen this in goddamn years, but I mean, it's Dustin Hoffman. He was already thought of as a very good actor at this point, but you know, just further.
You came up last week on your torture scene or doctor thing with the Marathon Man, right?
Yeah, Dustin Hoffman. Yes, because I mean, after The Graduate, like Hollywood wanted him to be Hollywood's leading man. Like,
right.
They wanted him to be like Love Story and all these movies, and he came back with Ratso Rizzo.
That's right.
And this was another, you know, step in a very different direction. And yeah, it's a fun movie. It's a good movie. I believe, yes, Sidney Pollack directed this one. Yeah, check it out. It's for free if you're a Prime member there.
Sweet.
Tootsie, 1982.
Number three for me.
Toots.
We can spend as much or as little time on Mrs. Doubtfire as you want.
This is a movie that I resisted at first. Mm.
Well, you were probably, what? You were probably 16, 17 years old?
Yeah. But I still liked, once again, like Chappie, like Mrs. Doubtfire, that portion is great.
Right.
But a lot of the shit around it is hard to swallow.
Like what?
Just the sappiness.
Because it's all Mrs. Doubtfire, isn't it?
The sappiness. And like
I was going to say, this is Robin Williams that is family friendliest.
This is Patch Adams era. This is
It's Patch Adams.
It feels like it should be like all glossy and like almost like a PSA at times with like family comes first and this. But when he's doing his Mrs. Doubtfire thing, it's fucking remarkable.
It sets him up for success. I mean, him being Robin Williams as an actor, because him doing Mrs. Doubtfire is so... Stick with me. It's so convincing in the sense that if any part of it isn't convincing, if you can't see him as an old lady, you see him fooling his own family as an old lady, any part of it doesn't work, the whole movie falls apart.
Right.
The whole movie collapses on even 1% of doubt.
And at the time, we had never seen makeup that good, I don't think. It's like, wow.
That's a good point.
This is really great makeup. Look what they're doing.
Yeah, because even Tootsie looked like Dustin Hoffman.
Yeah, they just, you know, put actual makeup. This was like synthetic.
Latex.
Yeah.
Well, they had the... There was actually...
Drive-by fluting.
That was a great montage sequence, too, when they were actually putting in the different permutations of Mrs. Doubtfire until he became Mrs. Doubtfire. They're like, oh, makeup isn't working. Let's go with latex. And that's where it came from.
But it's so goddamn sappy. I was on vacation somewhere. It was on, you know, TV in the hotel not too long ago. It might have been when I was down in Mexico.
Mm.
Well, that is a long time ago, actually. Jesus. Anyway, I got to get out of town. What the fuck?
Come on, buddy.
But yeah, you know, it's nice to have on in the background. I can't imagine me plopped down and have to, like, you know, focus on it in a dark theater again right now. That'd be brutal.
Come to think of it, I don't think I've seen this movie in at least 20 years.
You're okay.
Yeah.
Number three for me. Talk about depressing. Mm-hmm. Talk about hard to watch, but goddamn, is Hilary Swank impressive as Brandon Tina. And Boys Don't Motherfucking Cry. Boys Don't Cry.
I'm now 3 for 3 on movies I haven't seen on your list.
You have not seen Boys Don't Cry.
Boys Don't Cry.
It's on Instant.
Seems very depressing.
It's on Fuckflix.
Seems very depressing.
Chloe Sevigny. So, she's remarkable. This is the first time that most people had seen Hilary Swank. Wasn't she on some television program, though, that like people watched that?
She was The Karate Kid or something, wasn't she?
She was the hot girlfriend of Karate Kid, but like, you know, you forget about that.
No, she was the next Karate Kid.
She
was the girlfriend.
Did you shave
your eyebrows?
Hilary Swank.
Did you shave your eyebrows?
Did I shave my eyebrows?
Your eyebrows look shorter.
Why the fuck would I shave my eyebrows, Brian?
I guess the shorter hair is letting more light on your eyebrows.
I have very light eyebrows, and I've had past girlfriends who have made fun of me. My current wife would never dare. She's sweet. But I've had girlfriends who say it's funny because it looks like I have no eyebrows.
I think the less hair you have now because you have a haircut, and it's letting more light.
I have Irish Norwegian blood, Brian, and it gives me very light eyebrows.
Light features.
Okay.
Okay.
But yes, I have. So anyways, she pulls it off playing the character Brandon Tina, which is a little bit too on the nose with the boy's name and then the girl's last name.
But isn't it a true story?
Yeah,
was her name Tina Brandon?
Yeah. But can that really be real?
You know what I mean? I'm assuming it was. Well, maybe it wasn't. I have no idea. I always assumed it was.
She was the Karate Kid, wasn't she?
I think she was the next Karate Kid.
Uh-huh. Anyways, she fantastic performance in this movie. And, you know, it's one of those, it's almost like cursed her. Like everyone, she's made other movies, obviously, and she, you know, continues to have a thriving career to, you know, in this grand scheme of things. But I think that she will always be the girl to play the guy so well. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I think it might still be haunting her a little bit.
I mean, she did Million Dollar Baby.
I remember she showed up at the Oscars that year and like she overdid it with like girliness and dress and makeup and like, oh, I'm a girl, really, for sure.
I'm a real girl.
But yeah, it's a tough watch. No, I saw it. I remember this is one of those movies where I remember exactly, you know, I see a lot of movies. I don't remember which theater or where. Even sometimes it's like, I think I saw that in the theater. I know exactly which theater I saw this in. It was up in Seattle at a theater that no longer exists. I remember, you know, going to see it during the day.
Why? Why Seattle?
That's just where I used to spend a lot of time up there.
Okay.
My best friend used to live up there.
There you go.
He now lives down here.
There you go.
I saw him more when he lived in Seattle than when he lives down here. Isn't that weird how that works?
Very strange.
Yeah. All right. So that's a solid pick right there. Hilary Swank. She pulls it off.
Coming up next, of those first three movies, Anderson.
Oh, she was on Beverly Hills 90210. That's what I was talking about, Brian.
Oh, I didn't know that.
I said she was on a show that a lot of people watched that I did not, and that was it.
There it is.
She played Carly Reynolds. So a lot of people went and saw Boys Don't Cry, and like, can you believe Carly Reynolds looks like a boy?
Is actually a boy?
Wow.
Of those first three movies, Garp and Tootsie and Boys Don't Cry, what should I say?
For you as Brian?
Yeah.
If I'm Toots.
Okay.
Yeah, Tootsie.
Fair enough. Coming up next.
But it's been years since I've seen Tootsie. I've seen Garp more recently.
Okay.
So it's tough to say.
I'll go with Tootsie. It's probably regarded as the sort of more classic movie.
But Boys Don't Cry is available on Fuckflix. You can watch it right now.
That's true.
Chloe Sevigny is great in it as well. As great as she can be.
Coming up next, the rest of the cross-dressing performances. Anderson, listen what's on the menu next week for Blue Apron.
All right.
All right, you get your first choice. What do you want? You want turkey chili? You want tom yum shrimp with fresh rice noodles and gailan and Thai basil?
I don't even know how to pronounce that.
I know most of those things, I don't even know what those are. Or do you want corned beef spiced steak with braised cabbage and buttered potatoes, red potatoes?
That last one sounds pretty hearty. Pretty hearty.
To spend my first pick on Italian shrimp.
We're talking about Blue Apron. Quite a many weeks, and it's because we do love this product. Blue Apron. Actually, I'm a lentil cooker now. Like, I'll learn. Like, it teaches you
sounds
how
like
to
an
cook
insult.
Things. It teaches you how it's to cook
a real
things.
Lentil cooker.
And then you got that. You have that recipe, and you can go out and cook it on your own. Yeah. After Blue Apron trains you how to do it. Cooking school in your kitchen.
That's absolutely what it is. So if you want less than $10 a meal, you can get a delicious 500 to 700 calorie per serving meal. And if you want two of them free, check them out now, blueapron.com/TFV. That's right, first two meals free when you go to blueapron.com/TFV.
I'm Matt Rather from the Overthinking It podcast, now at podcast1.com. On Overthinking It, your smart, funny friends from the internet talk about, well, does it really make economic sense for the Death Star to blow up Alderaan?
As Grand Moff Tarkin, you got to ask yourself, is it a debtor planet or is it a creditor planet?
The problem with blackmail is like you really need to come in and talk to Bail Organa and say like, you know, this is a nice planet you've got here. It'd be a shame if someone were to shoot a giant laser into the core and explode it.
Overthinking It. Download it now at podcast1.com.
Welcome back once again. Like I said, thanks to our featured artists. Go to AndersonandBrian.com to check them out. Also go to AndersonandBrian.com to see the fan art this week by Joe Cherry. Thanks, Joe, for sending in your fan art. If you want to send in your artwork, no matter how good or bad or elaborate or simple it is, we'd love to see it.
I just thought of a category we could do. Most molested classic films.
I don't know what that means.
Or raped. Rape seems a little heavy. And you know, for actual rape victims out there, I don't like to belittle the term rape. But like the Karate Kid,
right,
has been so bastardized,
sullied.
Like, and I did confirm the next Karate Kid, 1994, the 4.2 rating on IMDb, right, did star one young Hilary Swank as Julie Pierce in the next Karate Bitch.
But Mr. Miyagi was in that one, right?
Yeah. Back when he was alive.
I would hope so. It'd be a very tricky thing.
But that wouldn't be a bad category.
The top five sullied legacies.
Most fucked. Star Wars could be on those. An argument could be made. Give me 5-10 years, an argument almost most desperately definitely will be made with what they're doing to it right now.
We're Karate Kid?
No, Star Wars.
Oh, you think this is the end?
Oh, I think so. Oversaturation, my friend. Oversaturation. Yeah. Another list came up, actually. I meant to fucking bring this off my phone. Where's that goddamn phone?
Your phone? Where's your phone? Come on, buddy. Get it together.
Go ahead. You do some talking. It's right there.
Where? Under your hand. Where I'm pointing.
Everyone settle down. A listener brought it to my attention, Brian, that you offended him quite dearly.
I offended a listener.
Yeah. First of all, I'd like to thank Greg for our last week's topic, doctors.
Is this the listener?
Greg, the listener, who I was playing a little trivia game on the old iPhone there.
Right.
And he's like, hey, why don't you guys do top five doctors? I said, thanks. Austin Bryant let me know that you hurt his feelings greatly when you said only people from California listen to this here program, which obviously.
I didn't say that.
Apparently you did because he stuck in the craw.
Doesn't make any sense.
He's from the Midwest and he suggests we do top five Midwest movies. I think that's a great idea.
Ooh.
Top five movies that take place in the Midwest.
I like that one.
That's not bad, right?
I like it.
Let's do it.
Do it.
Okay, here we go. Back to the chicks.
Back to the guys as chicks and vice versa. Number two. Number two is an obvious choice, and I promise to follow up with a less obvious one, but...
Why? You don't have to do that. Just
okay,
be honest,
well,
my friend.
Fine. I don't have to if I don't want to. Yeah. But I'm going to. Number two is Jared Leto as Rayon from Dallas Buyers Club.
I'm in the minority, I know, but I really didn't care for his performance.
Oh, stop it. No, you did not.
I thought it was...
Really?
He morphed into somebody else, but I didn't like that person he morphed into, and I got a little bit tired of it. I wasn't a fan of that performance. Bless you.
I sneezed.
I understand it was impressive, but I didn't like it. You know what I mean?
You didn't like who he became? Like, you didn't want to hang out with that person?
Yeah. I didn't want to hang out. I didn't enjoy watching it.
The character was prickly.
I didn't enjoy watching it. I think maybe just because I disliked him as a human being.
True.
His Jesus-like figure.
That might be true.
He believes he's Jesus, I think, at this point.
You think so?
Yeah. And he's always been nice and kind whenever I've run into him or been in the same. He's always been nice on the surface, but I could tell it's just on that surface. I feel like he's going to break. I feel like he's going to have a break and everyone's going to see the true man.
Really?
One of these days.
Ironic that he played Rayon and won an Oscar.
Yeah.
For playing a woman.
It was the worst. The worst possible scenario when he won that Oscar and he got up there in front of everyone.
Pontificated.
Oh my God, with his long hair. He's like a long-haired Brian Bishop up there.
Wow.
Yeah.
So he was eloquent and said things move people?
Waxing.
Okay.
A lot of, hockey, there's a couple of goaltenders. There's one last name Anderson.
Right.
One's last name is Bishop. And it's funny because they play each other every now and again.
Really?
Anderson versus Bishop.
Bishop always comes out ahead?
No. Number two for me. This is a film that I absolutely love. I love this movie.
I hope so.
We're doing top five performances, so it could be like a movie I didn't care for much, but it's a great performance. And like I said, with Jesus that you just brought up,
right.
Jared Leto. I understand that he did phenomenal things there. I just didn't really enjoy watching it, and I totally understand that I'm in the minority. Most people did, but I did not. I'm talking about Cillian Murphy though, in Breakfast on Pluto. It's been a long time since I brought up Breakfast on Pluto.
It has been.
I love this movie. 2005 it came out. I also remember where I saw this. San Francisco, Brad.
Ooh.
And this is Cillian Murphy. Period piece, 70s. Ireland once again. The IRA is definitely involved. And Cillian Murphy, who was pretty to begin with. He's a pretty man. And he plays Patrick
Piercing
Kitten,
eyes.
Patrick Kitten Braden. In this 2005 Neil Jordan movie. Neil Jordan has almost made a living. Like a third of his films, it seems, have men playing versions of women or dressed up as women. that may or may not have happened in a movie called The Crying Game. There's a couple other that were almost, I think he might have an also ran on here. Anyways, Neil Jordan directed this. And what's really interesting about this one is one of my all-time favorite movies that I talk about a lot, Butcher Boy.
Right.
Been a while since I brought up that Butcher Boy, though. But that was written by Neil Jordan and Pat McCabe. The only other movie that Neil Jordan and Pat McCabe wrote together was Breakfast on Pluto. And it's dark, it's stirring, it's touching, and Cillian Murphy fucking nails it. And if I had to bang a dude, it'd be Cillian Murphy.
Wow. You hear that, Cillian? You're in luck.
In Breakfast on Pluto.
Okay.
He's fantastic.
This is set in the 70s in Ireland.
Set in the 70s in Ireland, and there's a lot of gunplay, a lot of going on, and he's caught up in the middle of it. He is the movie, though. So, and this is the IMDb. I've not seen this movie. It's not a readily available streaming anywhere for free at the moment, but it's definitely worth a check, especially if you love that Butcher Boy, which is one of the all-time greats.
Wow.
I love The Butcher Boy. It's such a fantastic movie. Right. Also written and directed by Neil Jordan and Pat McCabe, like I just said. But in the 1970s, a young trans woman, Patrick Kitten Braden, comes of age by leaving her Irish town for London, in part to look for her mother, and in part because her gender identity is beyond the town's understanding.
Damn.
It's a dramatic movie, but there's also a lot of comedy in it.
What year was this?
2005.
Okay.
And it's just over 2 hours. So, you know, you got to be ready to invest yourself. But, fantastic movie. I love this movie and I love the performance by Cillian Murphy.
Nice.
Beautiful. This was the second movie that popped in my head when I thought of this category here, right?
Number one is your number one?
I know what my number one is.
I was saying the other movie that.
Oh, yeah, that was the first.
Yeah, okay.
That was just idiot. Bumblebee. Transformers.
What, I don't know what that means.
Isn't he playing a woman?
How dare you?
Isn't Bumblebee a woman?
No.
Bees are women. Oh, I guess they're not.
No, they're not at all.
he's actually offended.
I'm really upset at you.
He really is offended.
I'm quite upset at you right now.
I hope that you like Chappie. I want to like Chappie with you.
I want to like Chappie.
I feel like you and I could
bridge. I want to like every movie I see.
I feel like you and I could bridge something with Chappie. Like you and I could enjoy Chappie like we do Locke.
Do you genuinely... I genuinely feel like I want to enjoy every movie I go see.
Well, yeah,
like,
of course. You never go to see a movie hoping that you'd hate it.
Well, I think some people do. I think a lot of people do.
Well, I think critics do because that's kind of how they...
Right. They want to sharpen their knives.
But no, I want to like every movie. As corny as this sounds, I think of movies like Friends almost. Mm. And I'm looking for good friends.
Yeah.
And a really good movie. It's like this one I can go back to and it's always going to be there. It's always going to be the same.
Yep. Something will get better.
It's the only thing that I really have order of in my entire life. The world is fucking chaotic and chaos reigns, but movies.
That's right.
They're always going to be there and they're always going to be the same unless you fucking change them, Speely. Do not recut your movies. Leave them alone.
The rail like only put yeah. until the little bit at the end.
Until the end where I was screaming. Set with Lucas and Spielberg. Yeah.
Number one for me. Okay. I glanced at the listeners' Facebook selections on our Facebook page there at the Film Vault on Facebook, and did not see this one brought up. So I'd be interested to see, Logan, if we got any votes. But I got a clip. Play in a second. I'll cue it up. My number one guilty pleasure of all time. Did it ever make you watch Kids in the Hall Brain Candy? Have you ever seen it?
Yes, I saw it in the theaters, Brian.
Okay. Kids in the Hall Brain Candy has a lot of cross-dressing throughout. The five kids in the hall basically play all the female characters in the film. The plot of the movie is, it's sort of actually kind of prescient. The plot of the movie is that they have developed they work for a pharmaceutical company. They developed a drug called Gleeminex, and Gleeminex will latch onto your happiest memory, find your happiest memory in your brain, and make you feel like you felt then all the time. It's basically sort of a, Prozac. It's sort of a comical version of Prozac in that it makes you feel that happy at your happiest moment for the rest of your life.
Sounds more like ecstasy to me.
But it's more, it's played for...
MDMA or Molly is a good seller.
It puts you in a good mood. It doesn't so much overwhelm you with joy.
Well, you have no idea what that's MDMA also good, does that's also, to you, that's also and a good I, point. I do.
I'm only going off what Gleeminex does.
Okay.
So one of their patients is Mrs. Herdicure. Mrs. Herdicure is an old lady played by Scott Thompson. Mrs. Herdecure is clinically depressed. Mm. Their version of clinically depressed is just like, you know, 1,000-yard stare, can barely communicate. Like, it's not someone who goes through life normally and is prone to bouts.
It's like a vegetative state.
Yeah, exactly. They have a little bit of fun with what that means. The movie's very on PC. Remember Cancer Boy?
Cancer Boy, of course.
Cancer Boy's the best.
How could you forget Cancer Boy?
Cancer Boy's the best.
The best. You're using that term loosely.
Well, as a Cancer Boy myself, I can say that.
Okay.
I couldn't say that before, but I can't.
I'm not saying that it's not PC for you to say it's the best. I'm just saying that it's not accurate.
Oh, okay. Well, Mrs. Herdecure is great. It's played by Scott Thompson, and they give her the drug Gleeman-X, and as she swallows it, you are taken to her happiest memory.
Mm-hmm.
And this is her happiest memory. This is Christmas time with her family. Logan, mm-hmm. Play the clip. Kids tearing apart the house.
We're a few hours late there, Mom, but you know how the kids hate old people.
Oh, well, that's all right, as long as we're all together now, eh?
Yeah, that's the important thing. So how's your health there, Mom? You doing okay?
Oh, good. Just
he's
a touch of the sciatic.
Kid breaks the toy.
So here, Dad's dead. Yeah. Hey, is that eggnog?
Oh, yeah, go have yourself a glass. I'm going to go check on the bird.
Your dad's dead.
We have Sam's this year. Uh-huh. We got ourselves a butterball, because remember last year was so dry, and vertebrae said that they're the best.
Gotta go. Come on, kids, in the car. Come on, let's go. Yeah, sorry, Mom. We gotta go.
You're off.
But hey, you got that gift for my mom?
Oh, yeah. Merry Christmas, Mother Herdecure.
Oh!
Come on.
Thanks. I wonder what that is.
The harmonica.
Mm. Well, see you next year. Oh, that was lovely.
That's her happiest moment. That's Christmas.
It's like an SNL sketch, Brian, that didn't get traction in the writing room.
That's her happiest moment. Mm-hmm. She wants to feel like that. She wants to feel like that for the rest of her life.
That's sad. It's pathetic.
It's incredibly sad. It's morbid. Uh-huh. Oh, it's so sad. It's so funny. And then you smash cut to her just grinning her face, just like, ah. She's gleeful. She's overwhelmed with glee. That's her happiest moment is literally a 1 minute long visit at Christmas.
Very dark, Brian. Very dark.
Her dad died.
Yeah. All right, yeah.
Fucking A. Mm-hmm. That's so funny.
Okay.
Come on, man.
I remember not enjoying that movie.
That's such an Anderson scene. How could you not like that?
It's very SNL. It's very sketch. It's very like...
Of course, it's from Kids in the Hall.
Yeah. Seems forced.
No.
Yeah, it's sad.
It's good stuff.
Seems forced, though. Right, you know what I mean?
Mrs. Herdecure.
Number one for me.
Mrs. Herdecure.
It's rare, Brian, that I suggest and I claim that a movie is life-changing. It's rare.
Rare.
But I wanted to tuck my penis and balls between my legs.
Oh, no.
I wish I didn't say that. It was so crass. I did not like saying that. I feel like we should cut that from the show.
No, you did not cut that. That's for posterity.
But never have I wanted to be a pop singer.
Right.
A blonde pop singer. Actually, this isn't true. I don't want to be this, Hedvig. But God damn it, have I listened to that soundtrack over and over and over. It's one of my all-time favorite soundtracks that opened up doors that I closed to the Velvet Underground and other movies of the sort, like Velvet Goldmine and... fucking fantabulous movie. And Hedvig and the Angry Inch, talking about John Cameron Mitchell. Brian brought him up before. He was on your list. Hedvig and the Angry Inch. I think a lot of people have seen Hedvig at this point.
I don't think they have, actually. This is an underground movie.
They tried to ruin it for me by playing it at a theater down the street from me, much like Rocky Horror, where people would dress up like Hedvig, and that was very annoying to me to drive out of my house on Friday nights and see them lined up like fucking horrible, horrible people trying to take away my love, which is Hedvig and the Angry
Inch. That's what they wanted to do. That's
they were trying. It was aimed at me. Yeah. It was an attack on
for
me.
For sure.
But just a fantastic... soundtrack, really, really beautifully well-written, thought-out songs by Stephen Trask, I believe his name is.
Okay.
And here's something very interesting. I love this movie, Hedvig and the Angry Inch. I've talked about it at length. It's number one on my list here for top cross-dressing performances. He wrote it. John Cameron Mitchell wrote it, directed it, starred in it. Mm. He's made movies since. No interest in seeing them.
Really?
I don't care. Because the movie itself is not a very... It's cutesy. It feels almost made for TV at times. It's kind of ridiculous.
Right.
But the songs that surround it, the character, the little story, that it just worked. And it was one of those lightning in a bottle things. It feels like it could have easily gone off the rails, but they got it all right, even though the movie as a whole isn't like an award-winning type quality film. But... the music and the performances make it stick with you.
And for me, even the parts, and there are a few parts where either it doesn't quite get there, it falls flat, it doesn't quite do what it tried to do. Even those parts, the movie is filled with heart, and it's filled with, even when it's at its most grotesque and weird, it's still sweet.
It covers some really dark shit. And if you actually think about what the movie is, and I'm not going to talk about it for those of you who haven't seen it, but like what its name is and why it's an angry inch. And I mean, that's a horrific story.
Yep.
But they make it sweet and funny and...
It's melodramatic, but it works.
Yeah.
Because it's sweeping drama.
And where it needs a bridge... The animation comes in at the perfect times. Mm-hmm. It's one of the greatest uses of animation. I think I actually had it in my top five uses of animation.
You did.
It's just a great little movie, but it's one of the only movies I can think of where I was so blown. It was his first movie, John Cameron Mitchell, where I was so blown away by, you know, a director's first movie, and you know he is the movie. It's like Billy Bob Sling Blade. Like this is.
It's like a real life version of Billy Bob.
No one really knew Billy Bob, and then he came on the scene hard and strong with Sling Blade. He wrote, directed, and starred. And this is the same deal with John Cameron Mitchell. But I just don't have nothing against the man. I just don't think that I would like his. It's an odd, weird, strange thing.
I'm with you.
You know what I mean?
Yes, I know what you mean.
I think that's
a good choice. Number one. I'm glad it was on both of our lists.
Kid, you've seen this, right?
No. I haven't.
Is it because you're homophobic?
No, I've been planning on seeing it. It's on my queue. It's actually getting towards the top, so I'll be seeing it soon.
It's rising. It's Angry Inch.
What?
Let's hear the listener top five.
Wait, hold on. Okay, I wanted to make sure that Hedwig and the Angry Inch was indeed his first film. 2001. It was streaming forever. It's no longer streaming, which is
a
real bummer.
It'll be back.
But it's worth sending away for, guys and girls. And because you're going to fall. This is, I've told the story before, but as soon as I got out of the theater, I found myself wandering the street. It was so long ago. There was still record stores.
Right.
Wandering the streets looking for a record store.
To buy the soundtrack?
I was like in an urban part of town where there was a lot of stores and whatnot. I was in Santa Monica.
Or just loot the place.
But I went and I found a Tower Records, and just immediately, I'm like, I can't get in my car until I have the soundtrack.
Wow.
And my friend, my buddy Mickey, who I've brought up before, we both lived in Long Beach. And I was listening to the soundtrack full blast, singing along like douche that I am. And then I was like turning left, and I saw just across the street, sitting at a red light, staring at me, Mickey. I'm like, oh no, I will never hear the end of it. And he still makes fun of me.
Still brings it up.
Yeah.
Good guy.
Okay. Anyway, sorry.
Listener top five.
For the first time in Film Vault history, all five of the most voted on films got the same number of votes.
Whoa!
So we got a five-way tie for number one.
How is that?
How many? What? How many comments does the old Facebook get?
Usually between Facebook and Twitter, I take about 200 nominations.
That's great.
So
that's pretty great.
Yeah. All right. So
thanks for doing that, guys.
Number one, Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
That's also number
oh,
number
yeah,
one.
Yeah, yeah, number one.
Also number one, Tootsie, played by Dustin Hoffman.
There you go.
Also number one, Mrs. Doubtfire.
Yeah.
Okay.
Also, Willem Dafoe in Boondock Saints.
Yeah, it's a great scene, but it was like, I'm sorry, I'm stepping on you again, Logs.
He's still a cross-dresser. He's still cross-dressing in the movie.
Is he throughout, or I just remember that one scene.
I think it qualifies.
It's kind of a pivotal scene.
It got enough
but
votes.
It feels like he was doing it for a purpose other than sexual or identification.
The performance wasn't a cross-dress.
It was more like
the character had a secret sexual life.
Also yeah,
and
true,
I think that
sure.
was part of it. Also so I think it's a sign of the character. It's like it's very definitive of that character. So I think it counts.
There was a shootout.
Okay. Yeah. And the number one, also voted on by our listeners, is Jared Leto in Dallas Buyers Club.
True.
Number one. Recent memory.
People. I never saw Albert Nobbs. Never saw Some Like It Hot. I don't know if I should see these movies.
Yeah, you know what? Some Like It Hot, I feel like that's kind of like, I guess the movie's so synonymous with that scene now, but it's kind of like you're giving something away.
Sure.
It's kind of supposed to be like a surprise. But that's a great performance by Jack Lemmon over there and what's his fuck? Anthony Perkins. Norman Bates and Psycho, but everyone knows, right?
I don't understand how you can give away spoilers.
Everyone knows, right?
Ruin movies.
Doesn't everyone know Psycho? I was thinking about that. That's like one of the only movies where everyone knows. Kind of like The Crying Game at this point. Everyone knows.
Wow. So much spoiling going on.
Everyone settle down. Brian, you know what I'm talking about.
I was trying to get cute and put Spike Jones in Jackass.
I'm glad you didn't do that.
The old lady. So funny.
Tim Curry is Frankenfurter for Rocky Horror Picture Show. I don't even know what to make of that. I don't know what to make of that movie. I don't know what to make of it.
Kristen Wiig was funny in one scene as MacGruber.
If Rocky Horror Picture Show was just coming on HBO or something, you know, and you're like, hey, you had nothing, you're sick in bed, and you watch it, you're like, very odd, strange movie. But since it's become its own thing, it's like it's hard to even look at it objectively. You know what I mean?
I'm with you.
All right. And finally, almost on the list, Mickey Rourke is Jan the Actress.
Yeah.
Animal Factory. Do you see the Animal Factory?
Yeah,
you saw it recently, right?
The last couple years.
Yeah. Yeah.
Didn't stick with me as much as I wanted to, but yeah, for sure, Mickey Rourke.
Ed Furlong.
Is he only in one scene, or is he in a couple scenes?
Yeah, he's recurring. He's almost
he's always
like the old
in the
nanny.
Cell.
He's almost like the old mom.
But he's always in the cell, Oracle. Right?
Yeah, I believe he's always in the cell, like doing his nails, but he pulls it off. He's fucking great. Mickey Rourke playing like a woman, yep. Jan the actress in Animal That's Factory, right. A very good prison movie with a bunch of very hard to look at actors.
That's true. Hard. Weathered.
Was it Tom Arnold?
Tom Arnold.
Oh, he wanted to bang Ed Furlong so bad.
Chasing around the yard.
It was like a love story, really, if you look at it. It was just...
Unrequited love? All right, Logan.
Rabbit Hole is a movie by John Cameron Mitchell that I've been meaning to see. I got to check that out. This reminds me. I do need to... I need to go back to the... I don't think it is. No, it's just really depressing shit. Huh. Another thing I'd like to say about Chappie before moving on, this easily could have been one of those PG-13 movies. It's a hard R.
Oh, I didn't
there's
know that.
Fucking filthy language throughout. Some of the better jokes are with the filthy language. I'm looking forward to going back and seeing this one. And I know I'm going to take a lot of abuse, and I might even lose a few listeners who are like, that Chappie. Guy likes Chappie.
Unsubscribe.
Next show. But you know what? Not my fault that your heart is cold and shut off to the world.
Mm. You have cold cockles.
It's true. It's kind of an ironic name.
All right. What are we gambling on?
Speaking of Chappie, you guys gambled on it last week.
Chappie.
At the time, it did not have any Rotten Tomato score.
It's always a bad sign.
Anderson bid 79 and Brian 63.
79?
Currently, the week after its release, the Rotten Tomato score for Chappie is 28%, as you said.
Who wins?
So really, making Brian the winner.
That really Chappies my hide.
Oh, good stuff. Anderson, I'm going to assign you a film that is in theaters now.
Okay.
It's also on demand, VOD, iTunes.
VOD, yes.
Lexi Rodehard.
You're such a cunt.
Oh, man.
He's turned over two chairs. It's a 90-minute comedy.
Brian, it's 100 minutes.
You should not be this upset about a 90-minute comedy.
Not to be a little rape again, but this is very much like, imagine, if you will, let's just pick an actor out of a hat. Let's just say Ben Affleck. You're a woman. He raped you.
Right.
I'm telling you to go see Gone Girl.
You know what? I'll appreciate the craftsmanship.
What?
I'll appreciate the craftsmanship of the film.
The whole time you're going to be relieving the trauma. Every time I hear that man's nasally drone, I remember the fucking trauma.
It's actually...
A lot of trauma.
I laughed quite a bit during the movie. I think you'll find
it. Well, of course, because you're a suckler. You're the suckler.
But I wasn't laughing to his face.
No, you were laughing to his two-dimensional face. That's true. Probably had your hand out of the pants, jostling yourself.
I was reaching up to the screen to see if I could get my hands into the image of his pants.
Do you just, is it like Pavlov's dog? Like when you see his face, even if you're not in the
start
room,
laughing.
Like you just, you know, you're like, start opening your mouth, like ready to suckle. Like if I were to see you watching.
I think it was like Rodehard. I started nodding and grinning or something.
Does your mouth kind of go,
It shapes into an O shape. My tongue kind of tuckers.
Come on, there's something else out there. Come on. Don't be a dick.
Have you seen Chappie?
I need to see that Chappie.
Okay, well, see Chappie, but then also see Rodehard.
What a fucking asshole. This is after Logan comes in and tells us his true thoughts. I don't want to see this movie.
I saw
The Hammer. Isn't that enough?
You might like Rodehard.
God, you're a suckler. You're such a fucking suckler.
How is that suckling?
Watch my boss's movie. It's funny.
I didn't say that.
Hey, in so many words.
Okay, well, enjoy.
Suckler. All right.
I had to watch a woman cut off her clitoris.
That's a good point. But there's other movies you have not seen that have equal, if not more, intense imagery.
Let's just move on.
Yeah, let's. Don't fucking assign me your boss's movie.
You're going to like it.
I'm going to like it. I like The Hammer.
There you go.
All right, let's go. What are we gambling on?
All right, this week you're gambling on Cinderella, the live-action remake.
Oh, no. Oh, it comes out this week?
Ooh. That'd be a candidate from classic that's been decimated.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know anything about this.
God, I got a lot of anger in me right now. Why would you punish me like this?
You might like it.
I might not. You know me, don't you? That's what hurts me.
Isn't that why we do this? So you can take chances. That's what hurts me. Normally see
is like you still don't know what I like and what I don't like. Fuck Flex knows me so much better than you do. It hurts me.
And yet you call it Fuck Flex.
Road hard. Is this supposed to be like a funny? I don't understand. Is like the title is supposed to be like Roadhead?
No, like Road Hard and Put Away Wet.
Mm-hmm. See what IMDb thinks. 6.9. Did you do that on purpose? Is that a purposeful thing?
69, dude. Mm-hmm. What the fuck am I doing here? I don't know what the hell's going to happen with this Cinderella film. Right. I okay. Right. I don't know what to do. Go. What's your number?
Oh, I'm 38.
50. Ugh. I don't know what to do. I went right down the middle. This is going to be bad.
Anderson, did you say 38?
Yes.
You okay. Said 88.
Just making sure I heard it right. 38. Well, currently, the week before its release with 47 reviews.
47 reviews.
The Rotten Tomato score for Cinderella is 87%.
Crosby, Sidney
Woo!
Crosby.
Woo! We should have said 88.
Fucking me again.
87%.
Look at how happy you are because you did 50 like a puss.
How is that puss?
Such a puss.
What does that mean?
Non-committal, right down the middle.
It's an arbitrary number.
Hold on. We're going to see what Fuckflix thinks. I'm going to enjoy Roadhead.
But no one's rated Roadhead. Well, maybe they have. Who knows?
Mm-hmm. I bet they have.
Play the music, Logan. And Anderson search. In the meantime, thanks for going to AndersonandBrian.com, checking out the fan art, and contributing fan art if you'd like to, or becoming a featured artist if you'd like to. The information's all right there. Clicking through the Amazon banner, we appreciate it. If you want a list of all the films we discussed, what does it say there on
3.7, I think. Oh. I like it.
Well, that's pretty high.
I should rate it 1 so that they
that's pretty
have a better idea.
You're rate it without seeing it.
Ooh, Juno! I gave Juno 3 stars.
Juno's a 3-star movie.
I was feeling generous that day.
You think it's less than 3-star movie?
3-star
sounds about
it's become
right.
Its own thing since it kinda has. It's a 3-star movie, but I've like really laid on the hate over the years, you know?
I gotcha.
If you want to check Cinderella!
Films we discussed, go there. Honorable mentions is where you go.
How can live action Cinderella be good?
It looks horrible to me, but I guess 50. 7.
Like Annie. What was Annie? What did Annie get? I was kind of going.
Like Annie? They got like 55. I have no idea.
But Cinderella, it's because you know why? Hollywood's racist.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If you want to vote on our top 5, like you mentioned before, if you want to break the tie, go to facebook.com/thefilmvault or at thefilmvault on Twitter.
Do it.
Anderson Cowan, if you want to yell at him.com.
Hey, no yelling, guys. We have nice conversations over there. Okay. Get a lot of, as you can imagine, a lot of recommendations. So it's just, you know, they pile up. Mm. And I got Dr. Bruce movies to watch.
James Mansfield's Car.
Not bad. Yeah. So James Mansfield's Car, 71, which I want to rush out and find a theater. Like, I know some people, you have to arrive like an hour and a half to get to like independent cinema theaters. This is not one that you should do that for. But Chappie, I'm telling you, and it looks great. So if you're going to see it, this is a solid 3.5. No, I'm going to say solid 4-star
Whoa!
Movie. 4 stars.
Very divisive Chappie.
Out of 6.
All right, until next time.
Out of 6. We do it for Van Gogh!